following is a presentation of the new skin, BYU Sports Network. BYU Cougars basketball is on the air.
Sarah Wedding sends out to Hall. Touch pass Nell, open three. He got it right side. The answer from Trevin Nell.
This is Cougar Pregame Live, brought to you by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Getting you ready for BYU versus Iowa State. Here's your host, Ben Bagley.
And good evening, BYU basketball fans. Welcome into Cougar Pregame Live, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Tonight, the 20th-ranked BYU Cougars travel to Ames, Iowa, to take on the 6th-ranked Iowa State Cyclones in what may be the biggest game of the season for BYU. That's not just hyperbole either, folks. I know BYU just went into Lawrence, Kansas and beat the then-ranked 7th Jayhawks at Fog Allen. That was huge. It was big, it felt huge, and it was. I know earlier this year when 4th-ranked Houston came to Provo and the atmosphere was electric that night in the Marriott Center, it was awesome. But tonight, BYU faces their highest-ranked road opponent of the season in a rematch of a hard-fought game that BYU won 87-72 here in Provo when the Cyclones were ranked just 24th in the nation. And with the Big 12 Conference Tournament right around the corner next week, seedings are on the line and on the mind of the BYU Cougars as they get ready for this penultimate game of the regular season. Currently, BYU sits in 6th place in the conference standings. A win tonight will help them leapfrog Kansas, who won last night, putting them in 5th, due to BYU holding the tiebreaker over the Jayhawks. And that would also set them up to possibly a 4th seed in next week's Big 12 Conference Tournament with a win on tonight and a win on Saturday over Oklahoma State in the season finale and a Texas Tech loss in Saturday against 11th-ranked Baylor. So it's not a far-fetched thing to see that it could happen if BYU could take care of business tonight and Saturday in a Texas Tech loss over a weekend against Baylor. BYU can slip into that 4th seed in the Big 12 Conference Tournament. And why is that a big thing? Well, it is, because the difference between a 4-seed and a 5-seed in the Big 12 tournament is a bye through to the quarterfinals on Thursday if you're the 4-seed. If you're the 5-seed, you play Wednesday for a chance to play in the quarterfinals on Thursday. So BYU would get one less game in the conference tournament, which is a good thing because it gets you through the quarterfinals rested and ready to go. With all that said, let's take a quick look at the tell of the tape between Iowa State and BYU tonight. It's a big one. BYU ranked 12th in the net rankings. Iowa State comes in at 8th. KenPom rankings, BYU 16, Iowa State 10. AP poll, BYU 20, Iowa State 6. We got a top 20 matchup on all three metrics there, folks. Top 20 matchup, both teams in all three metrics. Conference records, BYU 9-7, Iowa State 12-4. Records overall, BYU 21-8, Iowa State 23-6. ESPN analytics gives BYU a 20.4% chance of winning. Not great. Cyclones are a 6.5-point favorite in the game. Not great. But as Lloyd Christmas once famously said, you're saying there is a chance. BYU's shown something in their last two games that the team struggled with earlier this year. That is some great second-half play, overcoming second-half deficits of 12 at Kansas, and then 17 points here at the Marriott Center against TCU in the last two games. That is where I began tonight's pregame conversation with BYU big man Fusini Traore, who himself has seen his play improve the past few games. I began the conversation asking Fus, what has been the key to these second-half turnarounds for the Cougars?
No, it's actually super good, you know. Like, I feel like this is a special team, you know, because I feel like whatever is going wrong, you know, as a team, like, we still stuck together, you know. I think so that's one of the main key, you know, because usually when things don't go in our way, like, people just start, like, pulling out from each other, you know, nobody talk to each other. But I feel like this team, you know, no matter what, we always kind of stuck together. And that's how I feel like we always can come off a win.
Kansas is one thing because that's a Lawrence, a hostile environment. You get that done. But yeah. I think, crazy as it might sound, I think the TCU game was more impressive because you're not going to see two almost polar opposite performances between your first half performance as a team to your second half performance. Because in the first half, you guys didn't have a lot going for you. Yeah. But the second half, you guys played almost perfect basketball. What was the difference?
Well, it was a lot we talk about in the locker room, you know, especially after the half, you know. Coach came and talked, and he said, let's push all the chair away and let's start just hitting each other, you know. I feel like that just helped us wake up a little bit, you know. That was like a wake-up call, you know, like, because the TCU that was bullying us, you know, being super physical fast the first half, you know. And we said, we don't just want to wait them to come punch us. We're going to be the first guy to come punch them again, you know. So that's what we did second half. And it was great.
When coach says you guys to push the chairs away and just kind of start slamming into each other, did you guys kind of look at each other like, what's going on here?
No, we actually didn't. We know it was actually serious because you can even see on his face, you know, he wasn't joking around, you know. So that was he was super serious about it. So, yeah.
This is a team that earlier in the season struggled a little bit in the second half, letting leads go, making things interesting when some people say maybe not necessary to do so. But as of late, that's not been the case. Is this something that you guys have learned moving forward, that you've learned from mistakes previously made and not going to make them again?
Yes, for sure we do. You know, even like when in practice, you know, like sometimes things doesn't go in the right, you know, like the first half of practice, you know, but I feel like we always come back, you know, like just find our way through, you know. We just don't quit. We just keep working, you know, until we get it.
Let's talk about your game a little bit. You missed some time with injury. You came back and it was like, well, Ali came in and like really started changing the way this team looked, and now you're coming back reinserting yourself.
Yeah.
And it seems like in the last 2 weeks we've seen Foos in his prime. Like this is prime Foos being able to really dominate the paint. What's kind of come around in the last couple weeks in your game?
Well, I feel like like you said, you know, injuries is really sucks, you know. But I feel like when the team was playing with us, you know, a lot of things changed, you know. So I just said, okay, I just got to stay focused, you know, like do whatever I can to help my team, you know. And, yeah, it's actually been fun, you know. I'm feeling more like myself these couple of weeks, you know. So that's actually super, super nice.
Is it kind of nice with the way that this team plays? Someone pointed out the other night, and I'm like, you know what, this is a little bit different than, like, last season the WCC where you'd get the ball in the paint and you get two, sometimes three people dropping down on double and triple teams you. Big 12, you're getting the ball, and ain't nobody leaving these shooters out on the perimeter. They're leaving you alone with the guy in the paint.
No, it's actually super amazing, you know. I'm just grateful for my teammate, you know, because we all know how dangerous every single of guys are, you know. Like, you cannot let any of those guys wide open, you know. They're just going to punish, you know. So they're just making my life easier, you know, to just be able to go play one-on-one against my only guy, you know, no double team, you know. So that's nice.
Anytime you get the ball one-on-one in the post, you feel like you got the bucket?
Yes. Like, for sure, I got a lot of trust on myself, you know, but 90% of the time I know I'm going to score it.
Is this team peaking at the right time? Like, you've got two more games, then it's the Big 12 Conference Tournament, and then it's the NCAA Tournament. Seems like this team right now, is this the right time to peak, or is there still more to learn about this team?
Well, there is still a lot more, you know, but it's little by little, you know. We just got to keep up, you know, little by little, you know, so we can see how far we can go. I'm super excited.
Glad you didn't give me the one game at a time thing, but let's go to the next game. Iowa State, you didn't play in the first game. You had a chance to go to Ames, hopefully get a win. What do you need to do at Ames to get a win over this Iowa State team that's really good?
Well, they are really good, so we just got to make sure we're the one who got to bring the fight, you know. We're going to let them, like, come punch us first, you know. We just got to be the one bringing the fight to them because they're actually a really good team. So we're excited to play against them.
There's BYU big man Fusini Traore on the second half turnarounds for BYU, plus his play as of late. And I'll tell you what, I asked that question about his ability in the post right now, because he is right now, with the way BYU shooting the three-point shot, teams will not leave a shooter to double-team Foos in the post, and him one-on-one against anybody in this conference spells trouble for the opposition. Coming up next, we'll talk with Mark Durant to preview tonight's big game, plus an upset in the Big 12 brewing at the half. We'll give you an update on that as well. Cougar Pregame Live continues in a moment on the new skin BYU Sports Network.
Here's Ben Bagley with more Mountain America Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Welcome back to Cougar Pregame Live, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Before we send it out to Ames, Iowa, and get ready for BYU at Iowa State, I'll give you an update here in the next segment as well. But right now, just at the beginning of the second half, UCF with a 35-31 lead on top-ranked Houston. UCF getting that done at home, 35-31, just starting the second half, 17.5 left there. So we'll give you an update of that in the next segment throughout the game as we look for maybe an upset in the Big 12. But now we chat with the one and only Mark Durant. Mark, how are we doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Ben. I'm sad that I'm not in Ames. I'm not too sad I'm not in Ames, but I'm sad I'm not at the basketball game in Ames. And this was just kind of one of those weeks that didn't work for me, but I'm looking forward to some great weeks of travel that are upcoming in March. And I think that'll be pretty exciting, but I think it's going to be a heck of a game in Ames tonight. I'm looking forward to watching and listening to that one. And so happy to be on with you, but missing my man, Greg Rubel, and that great environment at Iowa State.
Well, let's start. I want to talk about the game quite a bit with you here in just a second, but I want to start with something that you and I have talked about multiple times over the season as we've had these conversations. That was the second half of play for BYU, where earlier in the season it was a question mark and, to be honest, sometimes not good. But the last two games they've overcome double-digit deficits in both game of 12 and 17 to get wins. What's changed for this team in the second half?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, someone ought to do some studies on it, but I think you just play differently when you're behind and really trying to get back into a game. And sometimes when you have a lead in the second half, you maybe are a little bit more tentative. And when a team makes a run, you start tightening up and those things. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting how it's kind of reversed itself lately for BYU. But what I'd like to see is just a consistent half, both halves. I mean, I'd like to see BYU come out and, you know, shoot well. Greg and I have bemoaned the fact that it seems like in a lot of these games, BYU will start out 1 of 8, 1 of 9, 1 of 10 from the three-point line, and their opponents will come out on fire, like TCU, like OSU, like Kansas State, and those aren't ideal situations. Even though BYU came back to beat Kansas and beat TCU, you don't want to have to rely on those comebacks because everything has to kind of go right for you. So what I'd like to see is BYU come out and be in the game right off the bat and not have to kind of find a way to get back into a game. So I'm looking for BYU to have a really nice start tonight, and they've done that this year in the Big 12. Early on in the Big 12, at Baylor, at Texas Tech, and other places, and UCF. You just mentioned the UCF score. I mean, they've done a nice job starting games, but just recently, they haven't started well. But man, they've sure finished a couple nice games.
Yeah, that makes it more exciting. Consistency is boring, Mark. I need to see ebbs and flows and excitement when it comes down to the end.
You're all about the drama, Ben. I know. You're a drama king.
Hey, something that also has changed a little bit, and this isn't a surprise because we knew how good Foose was. We know that in the post, especially in one-on-one situations, he's nigh unstoppable. But earlier in the season when Foose gets injured, all of a sudden Ali Khalifa becomes the big story of this team, a big man who can sit at the top of the key, be the point person for this Cougar team. Now Ali's having some issues with health. He's not getting the minutes he was getting earlier, but Foose is now healthy, and he has become a game changer for this BYU team. I don't know if you heard any of the pregame conversation I just had with him. He says that if he gets the ball in a one-on-one situation, he knows he's going to score, but he's not. He's also added the passing element to his game a little bit in the last couple of games. He's really kind of blossomed into a couple of different tool big man there in the post for BYU.
He had some amazing plays at Kansas where he got the ball in a spot that usually he would try and shoot from, but kicked it to the corner shooter for a three and really helped BYU overcome that deficit at Kansas. And he's a terrific passer. And one of the reasons teams can't double team him is because he is a good passer and will find the open shooter if you try and double team him. And teams don't want to let BYU have open threes, rightly so, because of how well they shoot them. So most teams would say, all right, we'll just put one our guy on Foos and live or die with the consequences. But Foos has just been so dominant. You just cannot guard him one-on-one. It's impossible. It's really remarkable, Ben, what he does at his size. He's not big as to height-wise. I mean, obviously very big and strong in the body, but he has a low center of gravity. And, I mean, I was coming out of the tunnel against TCU, and the TCU players were there, and these are some massive men, just huge humanity at its biggest. And I thought, wow, how can BYU compete with these guys? But yet Foos moves those guys around like they're rag dolls. He just has such a strong base, and he's able to create space and score on anybody one-on-one. So he really poses a lot of problems, and Ali Khalifa poses a lot of problems. I mean, it's a totally different problem, and it's really hard, I think, with that two-headed dragon for BYU to really stop them. And one guy, maybe you've devised something to stop one of them, but the other guy will have a big night. And, you know, Iowa State didn't see Foos the first time around. They're gonna be introduced to him in a big way, and I think Ali Khalifa will be just fine. He's still dishing out the assists and doing some great things, but just having both of those guys is so unique and such a great weapon for BYU.
I want to double down a little bit on something you just brought up with Foos, and I think to me is one of the most impressive things about his game. He does have such a strong base. As he backs people down a la a young Charles Barkley, just bullying people in the post, getting into position. But what he has, I think, makes him a different maker. It's not just that strength, the soft touch he has at the rim, and not just a soft touch, but to be able to create just enough space with either the baby hook or an up and under move. His movement and his ability to get angles at the rim and the soft touch to finish, paired with that strong, just massive post game, is what makes him really unique.
Well, because he's kind of built like a barrel, he's able to create space for his shot. So even though he's going against 7-footers, he's able to get good, clean looks, especially with that jump hook. And what I really have liked lately is he hasn't been completely reliant on that little jump hook. He's developed a nice spin to the baseline. So teams initially started just overplaying that right hand of his, and now he's much better at a drop stepping or spinning baseline. And he has a nice little array of moves and super soft hands and super soft shot, which is so rare. I mean, by the end of it, he may be the best field goal percentage average for a career ever at BYU. And that's pretty remarkable. There's been some great, great big men. And Foos is just so reliable and is confident now in his game and his shot. And just very, very, like I said before, he's unstoppable. I mean, he's literally unstoppable without a double team. He's just been terrific.
Yeah, currently stands as the best field goal percentage player in BYU history. We'll see if he can continue that run throughat the rest of his career. Let's turn it to Iowa State. Couple of notes about this game and about these teams, and I'm going to let you just kind of go where you want. Earlier this season in the first matchup, BYU hit 13 threes, I think to Iowa State's 4. I'm curious as to what the number you think might be tonight. Plus, Iowa State second in the nation in turnover margin at plus 197. They're forcing about 17.9 turnovers a game. In the first game, BYU went plus 2, only turning the ball over 11 times that game. And Iowa State 6th in the nation defensive scoring at 61.9 per game. First game, BYU got 87. So does BYU need to match those numbers from the first game to get a win tonight in Ames?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that was a great formula for victory. They shot a lot. I think they shot at least twice as many, and more than twice as many threes, and made 3 times as many. They kept the turnovers down, like you said. They actually, I think one of the critical things in that game was it wasn't just about the threes. They got to the free throw line a lot. They were able to match Iowa State at the free throw line, took care of the basketball. All those things they'll have to do tonight. I mean, it's going to be so incredibly tough to play. I've been there before, and in my estimation, it's a top five most difficult place to play that I've ever been in and been a part of. So it's going to be hard. I think the turnovers, like they did at Kansas, if they keep that turnover number down like they did at Kansas, that will be extremely important. But then attack the rim. I know that Iowa State will give up threes, but you can't just be completely relying on that. You have to attack, get to the free throw line. And if BYU can kind of stick to that same formula, then I think they've got a great chance. But, you know, Iowa State isn't undefeated at home just because they got lucky. I mean, they know what they're doing. It'll be a high-intensity environment. They play with a lot of effort and aggression, and it can get away from you very quickly. So this will be a big game for Dallin Hall, Jackson Robinson, taking care of that basketball. The 21 assists in the last game was excellent. If they can get anywhere near that, that'll be a good sign.
Well, Mark, you won't be in Ames. You won't get to partake of the best tap water in all the nation, according to the Ames people. But, hey, you will be home, and you'll be able to enjoy the drama of tonight's game. So, look, you got that to look forward to.
Well, I'm just looking forward to another great opportunity for BYU, and hopefully in the future, in the next couple of weeks, there'll be many, many more great opportunities. And so far, BYU's done a pretty good job of taking advantage of what's been given them these last few weeks, and I look forward to this team continuing to play better and getting better, and I'm just excited for the month of March.
Mark, we all are. Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the game tonight.
All right, my brother. Miss you, Ben. Talk to you later.
Go to BigOTires.com and make an appointment at one of the 50 locally owned and operated Utah locations. Big O Tires, the team you trust. After a quick timeout, we'll check back in on that possible upset in the Big 12. You're listening to Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin BYU Sports Network.
With more Mountain America, Cougar Pregame Live, here's Ben Bagley.
Welcome back to Cougar Pregame Live, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Looking back in on the one Big 12 game underway right now. The upset still on. UCF up 42-40 on Houston with 12 minutes and 53 seconds left in the second half. Coming up next, we'll send you the Hilton Coliseum for Cougar Pregame Coach's Show with Greg Rebell. You're listening to BYU Basketball on the new skin BYU Sports Network.
This is the Zions Bank Cougar Pregame Coaches Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Zions Bank, for 150 years of helping you succeed, Zions Bank is for you. Let's take you courtside and join the voice of the Cougars, Greg Rebell.
Good evening, Cougar basketball fans. Welcome courtside inside Hilton Coliseum on the campus of Iowa State University in Ames, Iowa, as tonight it's ranked versus ranked, BYU and Iowa State, as it was the first time these teams got together back on January 16th in Provo. Tonight, BYU comes in sitting at 20th in the AP poll. Iowa State ranks 6th. Both teams destined for the NCAA tournament. Tonight's game is about Big 12 standings, placement, and then seeding for the league tournament next week in Kansas City. And, of course, another data point for both teams' NCAA tournament resumes. I'm your play-by-play presenter, Greg Rebell. My 27-season broadcast partner, Mark Durant, back in Utah tonight, but will rejoin me on the weekend for Oklahoma State in Provo. In Mark's place tonight is our right-hand man, BYU Basketball Director of Communications Tyson Jex, who's my left-hand man tonight. He's no stranger to the headset. Tyson has a very good win percentage over his previous appearances. You're in good hands, Cougar Nation. Well, Tyson, great to have you back on the air, first of all, and you're getting a good one tonight. Two top 25 teams, two squads in the top four of the Big 12 standings coming into the week, at least, and tonight's game is being played at one of the most venerable and vast arenas in the conference, Hilton Coliseum, home to big crowds and a tradition-rich program on a current long home win streak, which was exactly the setup we had 8 days ago at Allen Fieldhouse. Here's hoping for similar success tonight.
Yeah, most definitely. I think you walk into Allen Fieldhouse, there's a little bit more
Mystique, Aura.
Mystique, it's a more of a relic, but Hilton Coliseum, it's amazing. I mean, this place is already almost full, and we still have 34 minutes till tip. I'm happy to be back with you, Greg.
We'll hear from BYU head coach Mark Pope right after this as the Zions Bank Cougar pregame coaches show continues live from Ames, Iowa on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
It's time to hear from BYU head coach Mark Pope as we return to the Zions Bank Cougar pregame coaches show. Here's Greg Wrubell.
Coming your way from Hilton Coliseum here in Ames, Iowa. This venue seats more than 14,000 fans, and Iowa State has sold out every one of its Big 12 games so far this season. Another full house on tap tonight for BYU and ISU. The Cougars coming in record of 21-8, 9-7 in league. Iowa State 23-6 overall, 12-4 in Big 12 play. One of the Cyclones' four losses came at the Marriott Center 7 weeks ago. BYU has won back-to-back games coming in two tonight. Iowa State has won three in a row and 17 in a row here at Hilton Coliseum. Time now to hear from BYU head coach Mark Pope. Our conversation presented by Zions Bank. For 150 years, Zions Bank has been serving the communities where you live, work, and play. For financial experience you can count on for the next 150 years, Zions Bank is for you. And tonight, Coach Pope talks about the things BYU did well in beating Iowa State back in Provo, the things needed again tonight as BYU seeks to secure the season sweep of the Cyclones.
Yeah, Iowa State is the best defense. It's so funny because we say this every week. But Iowa State is, by the numbers, the best defensive team in this league. And they do it by exerting a tremendous amount of pressure on the ball. And so our guys did a great job managing and responding to that. We didn't force a ton of stuff in traffic at the rim. We played a lot off 2 feet. You know, they also bring two to the ball at the point of attack all the time. And Dallin and Jax and Trevin Spence did a great job kind of managing that really initial thrust of two to the ball. And then on the back end, our guys made pretty solid plays. We did a really nice job, and this is going to be the ultimate challenge for us here in these last two games is, can we stay on our toes and can we stay downhill? You know, their whole defensive scheme is designed to get you on your heels, and it's a little bit of bully basketball, and it's really good. I'm saying that in a really kind of, probably should find a different word than that. But as long as our response is to be in attack mode, then we'll have really good possessions. When they get teams for a minute or two or five or ten, a little bit on their heels, that's when their defensive execution really is at its best, and so we have to avoid that.
Iowa State's the third straight team you're playing that doesn't have a lot of three-point heaviness to their offensive attack. The last three teams, including tonight, are all in the 300s ranking of three-point attempt rate.
Yep. Yeah, and part of that, you know, sometimes that can be a little deceiving because they do shoot the ball really well. Clearly 22 is an elite level shooter. 10 is a great shooter. Zero starting the game. He didn't play a ton against us because he's in foul trouble, but he can make shots. 5 off the bench really, really shoots it. And Lipsy's just a stud. Like, he's an all-around great point guard that's going to make a big shot. So they can do that. Partly, they're a great turnover-forcing team and a great pace transition team, so they earn themselves a lot of possessions at the rim. They're excellent at getting the free throw line, especially their starting backcourt is really, really great at getting at the free throw line, going downhill. And so they're so capable there that a lot of times they're not forced to actually be a three-point heavy team just because their defense translates so much offense, but they're certainly capable.
Last week in Lawrence, you beat a team on a 19-game home win streak. Tonight, you get an Iowa State team on a 17-game home win streak.
Yeah, and this is why this league is so great, right? I mean, you know, you think about, you know, we just, if you think about it, you're like, we just beat Baylor on the road, Baylor at home 2 weeks ago. We beat Kansas and TCU, Kansas on the road a week ago and TCU at home a few days ago. And you're like, that seems like a full schedule all by itself. And then, of course, our next game is number six on the road, Iowa State, second-best record team in this league. And we just love it, man. The opportunity to come compete. This gym is going to be sold out tonight, and it's going to be it's just going to be epic. And these fans are great. They're, like, brutal and nasty and awesome. And I'm just we're really grateful to have a chance to come here and compete.
Look forward to it. Coach, thank you for the preview. We'll talk to you post-game.
Thanks, G.
All right, time now to hear from, well, Tyson Jex and the keys to the game. They're brought to you by Ford and the Utah Ford stores. BYU basketball is built Ford proud. Sitting in for Mark Durant tonight, Tyson Jex has keys to tonight's contest. Tyson.
Yeah, the first one may sound kind of silly, Greg, but they need to score more points than the other team.
So we're going with the more points.
Yeah, it's because in the first meeting, BYU scored 87 points. That's the most allowed by Iowa State under T.J. Otzelberger. They also made 13 three-pointers, which is the second most he's allowed in his tenure at Ames. So it may sound silly, but if you're making threes and you're scoring the 80s, you're probably going to win.
If you're getting around your number, your average number, which is 82.7 for BYU, this is overall, not just in the league, but if you're around 80 points, you're probably going to win a game against Iowa State.
No, most definitely. That's why I think it might sound silly, but it's really important that they do that. The second key is embrace the chaos. This place is going to be wild, and part of that is Iowa State ranks second in the nation in turnovers forced per game. They're making the ball, and at Hilton Coliseum, it's almost 19 turnovers per game. In the first meeting, BYU only turned the ball over 11 times, which only resulted in four steals for the Cyclones. So if BYU can continue with what they've done is take care of the ball, it almost neutralizes some of the chaos that can happen when you turn the ball over and give these guys transition opportunities.
I think in Iowa State's last game, the UCF game, I think UCF was at 22 on turnovers on the night.
You do that tonight, it's going to be a long night.
As we go to break, we remind you to go to BigOTires.com and make an appointment at one of 50 locally owned and operated Utah locations. Big O Tires, the team you trust. The BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show coming up next, live from Ames, Iowa, on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is the Cougar Tip-Off Show, brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. The Cougar Tip-Off Show is also brought to you by the BYU Creamery, the classic taste of BYU ice cream, now also in a convenient pint. Also brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Let's head live to the All-Pro Capital courtside seats and rejoin the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
Good evening once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back courtside inside Hilton Coliseum here in Ames, Iowa for the seventh and final game on the Big 12's midweek slate. It's BYU and Iowa State. The Cougars looking to move back into a tie for fourth place in the league standings. Iowa State trying to stay in the mix for a piece of the regular season title, and both teams out to polish their postseason portfolios. This is the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show, brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Greg Wrubell and BYU Basketball Director of Communications, Tyson Jex with you for play-by-play and commentary. Tyson sitting in for Mark Durant tonight. Our studio host is Ben Bagley. Our coordinating producer, Terry South. Control board operators are James Finlayson and Maya Tippetts. Our studio editor is Kaylee Radford. Our BYU radio engineer is Barry Squires, and you are tuned in on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Well, 1 week from tonight, we will be in Kansas City for day two of the Big 12 Championship. And we already know that BYU will make its conference tournament debut no earlier than day two of the tournament, thanks to a single bye that has already been secured. The Cougars remain in the mix for a double bye. But either way, the Cougs will have exceeded preseason expectations that were set in part by the Big 12 coaches, who projected BYU as the 13th place team in this conference. Tyson, what BYU's done in ascending to the Big 12's top tier, it's truly outstanding.
It's been a wild ride, hasn't it? When I think about that, I think of an interview that Downhall did earlier in the season, and somebody had asked him about the Big 12, right? And he said, hey, we're happy to be in the Big 12, but we also want to win in the Big 12. And that's been the mindset all year. I know people from the outside have looked and said, well, they didn't have a great year last year. They're going to struggle in the best conference in America, and they have had their struggles. But it's been awesome to get home wins against Baylor, against Iowa State in January, go into Kansas and win, come back against TCU. It's been an awesome to see these guys rise to the occasion every single night.
Well, it's a team that, if enough things break, could find itself you know, in a double bye situation. A lot has to happen still, but a win here is a big part of that. But that would be truly outstanding in year one. Coming up after our break, we'll hear from Iowa State's Director of Player Development, Coach Eric Crawford, as the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show continues live from Hilton Coliseum in Ames, Iowa, on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show. Let's head back courtside and rejoin Greg Wrubell.
All right, this is the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show. We're getting you set for BYU and Iowa State. Second of two regular season meetings back in mid-January. BYU beat the Cyclones 87-72 at the Marriott Center. In a game, BYU led by 24 points late. Iowa State scored the final nine on that night. The 87 points remain, as Tyson Jacks noted, the most ever allowed by the Cyclones under head coach T.J. Otzelberger. BYU's win in Provo was its first ever over Iowa State. The Cyclones were 6-0 all-time against BYU before the Cougars' win in Provo. It was a victory punctuated by 13 three-pointers. It was 8 days ago in Lawrence, Kansas, that BYU beat the favored Jayhawks with 13 three-pointers. In contrast to BYU, Iowa State, not very three-point reliant. BYU ranks fourth nationally in three-point attempt rate. Iowa State ranks 301st. BYU ranks second nationally in percentage of points scored on threes. Iowa State ranks 299th. What the Cyclones do rely on is a relentlessly tenacious defense, ranking in the national top 10 in points allowed, top 5 in steals per game, top 2 in turnovers forced per game, and turnover margin. They rank second nationally in KenPom defensive efficiency. But 7 weeks ago, BYU turned most of those numbers around in that 87-72 win a short time ago. I asked Iowa State Director of Player Development Coach Eric Crawford how much what happened on January 16th at the Marriott Center factors into tonight's rematch at Hilton.
Our guys remember it well. We get their attention a little easier than the first time, you know, telling them that, you know, they're going to play fast and shoot a lot of threes, and they shoot it well. You know, I think it hits home a little more now because of what happened in Provo. But, you know, I think both teams, we're both going to play our styles of basketball. Obviously, BYU's style was a lot better at Provo, and, you know, we hope that we can establish a little bit more ball pressure here at home and get the crowd into it a little bit and kind of just play the game, see how it goes from here.
What do you want to flip the script on from the game in Provo?
Obviously, the transition threes killed us. Early on, there was a barrage of threes. I think Spencer Johnson hit three or four in the first half. And, you know, I think that was hard for us to keep up because when you're scoring in threes and we were kind of trying to score in twos, you know, they got a little bit of separation. And then just the pace in the second half just kind of wore us down a little bit with how fast, you know, the ball was advanced up the court. So I think that would be the biggest thing that we want to change is just a little bit better transition defense, a little bit better transition awareness of shooters, and try to limit some of the easy early threes. And, you know, later in the clock, if they're under duress, it's a little bit more in our favor. But the ones where they're in rhythm early in the clock, those are the ones that they hit at a high rate.
BYU scored more points than Iowa State's used to giving up, certainly. And then late in the game, Taman gets hurt and goes out. I think he had to miss the next game. How much did that game maybe and that kind of rally you guys a little bit?
A little bit. You know, I think anytime somebody goes down, I mean, everyone thinks your team will play worse. But as you watch the league, when a good player goes down, typically they play better. And I think, you know, it happened with BYU. You know, the first time we played them, they had two guys out. And, yep. You know, I think they, you know, Spencer stepped up and made huge plays. I think he almost had 30. So you kind of see that. And that happened with us at TCU. We had guys step up and get 15 to 20 points that typically had been around 8 or 10. So, you know, it does play a factor, and I do think it helps some of our guys.
All right, how much does being in the mix for a title here in the final week fire you guys up?
You know, it does. It's pretty cool. It's pretty special. I mean, to be in the best league in America and have a chance to, if we take care of business, have a chance. You know, obviously we need some fortune on, you know, with Houston, but just to be in this situation, I think it puts us in a good spot going into the Big 12 tournament. It puts us in a good spot, you know, talking about the NCAA tournament. So I think it's all one and the same. I wouldn't say it's, you know, we talk about it a lot. You know, if it ends up working out that way and it comes down to Saturday, I think we all play at like 1 o'clock. So we won't know anything until 3 o'clock on Saturday. But it is cool. It's pretty special to be in this situation. And, you know, if anything else, it means that we're playing pretty good basketball over the course of a couple months here.
And finally, you've seen everyone. How's BYU fitting into this league?
You know, really good. You just never know because their style is so different than anybody else in the league. You don't know how it's going to translate. But what I do think happens is, you know, BYU has a bunch of guys that are bigger than you think when you see them in person. You know, on film, you might think they're a little bit slower or a little smaller, and then you play them, and they're legit 6'5", 6'6", at the wings. They're strong, and they're way more physical than you ever think. So I think, you know, being in a physical league, the type of bodies that BYU has allows them to compete in this league right away. I think that's something that was overlooked when they joined the league. You think of BYU as a fun-and-gun three-point shooting team, but really, you know, when it comes down to it, they're very physical, and they get to the basket a lot, and they just put you in tough situations. I mean, the three-point shooting helps, but I think what's been really good for them is that they're consistently able to create offense even if their shots aren't going in.
Hey, I really appreciate your time. See you in Kansas City.
Thank you.
You heard from Iowa State Director of Player Development, Coach Eric Crawford, in the closing strains of our national anthem. BYU fans, if you've had any cars on the injured reserve list, Doug Smith Kia has some promising new prospects on their lot in American Fork. To see the full scouting report, visit DougSmithKia.com. The BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show continues after this, live from Ames, Iowa, on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Welcome back to the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show. Let's rejoin Greg Wrubell.
All right, Greg Wrubell, Tyson Jacks coming to you from courtside inside Hilton Coliseum here in Ames. Cyclones coming into this one on a 17-game home win streak. They're 17-0 this season here at Hilton. The win streak, the sixth longest current one nationally, but it was 8 days ago that BYU ended the third longest streak at Allen Fieldhouse. Tyson, after what BYU did last week and coming back from down 12 to win in Lawrence, then to come back from down 17 at home and beat TCU on the weekend, this team's confidence, BYU, has to be very high coming into Hilton.
Yeah, I think it's very high, but I also think they're pretty cautious and they're respecting the opponent that they're going to play tonight. They understand Iowa State's sixth in the country, 17 in a row in a sold-out arena, but I think there is the confidence, like you mentioned, that these guys, if you can win an outfield, I think you can win anywhere. Nobody wins there, right? And so not that they've ever been intimidated by an environment, but I don't think this intimidates them. I think they think, hey, we're the underdog. We've been the underdog all year. Just another day in the office.
We'll see how it shakes out tonight. Some final words before tip-off coming up next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show rolls on. Here's Greg Wrubell.
All right, to BYU and Iowa State, just moments away here at Hilton Coliseum. Among the storylines tonight, a good showdown of sixth-man candidates here in the Big 12 Conference. You got Jackson Robinson. He's averaging 12.3 points per game to lead BYU in league. Then you got Iowa State's Curtis Jones. He's averaging 10.7 points per game in conference off the bench. A couple of really, two super subs going head-to-head tonight.
It'll be really interesting to see the impact they have in the game. Obviously, BYU fans know what Jackson can do off the bench. But Curtis Jones, if you watch him play, he's not the same type of player, but Jackson, but he brings that same type of energy. It's really unique in these times of basketball for somebody to come off the bench and just be as productive and consistent as both of those guys have been.
Starting lineups, a tip-off of BYU and ISU coming up next. This has been the BYU Store Cougar Tip-Off Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.